Brooklyn's Radio. Loving events in Surrey.
Great to be down here. The sun is shining here at the Brooklyn's Fun Day. It's great, actually. I'm looking out of the OB studio here, looking right onto the wonderful Mercedes-Benz building. It looks spectacular with the sunlight shining. Got a really busy day ahead. I think with all the things that are coming up during the day here, there's exotic animals from Darwin's Kingdom. They're here today. They've got games with the RNLI. We've got our own Dave Gemitus at the moment being interviewed by the police. You might ask why. I think it's the other way around. I think he's actually interviewing the police. But he's carrying that one at the moment. We've got a Radio Bull show that's coming up later on. And naturally, there's all the fun of the fair as well. So we've got bouncy castles, we've got fairground rides, etc., etc. There's a lot of local craft things going on as well. We've got Cherry Orchard DSN here. We've got Annelies Authentic Sources. Now, we met them. In fact, we've met them twice. Annelies, a lovely lady. She's been doing her business now for about 10 years. And she produces fantastic chutneys and everything you ever want to accompany your curry, really. So we've seen her, I think, at Elmbridge Food Fair before. And we met her a couple of weeks ago when we did the cycling. So good to have Anley here. Red Cross Interiors are here. There's Bumble Beads. There's Studio 65 and Love Light Photography too. Yummy Foods, plenty of food. So if you're going to come down and eat here, terrific. They've got the Water Babies, which I'll explain to you a bit later on. Dogs Trust are here today. There's lots of things in an exhibition centre as well. Activities-wise, on stage, you've got fire engines, you've got police cars, transport police, Mercedes Academy here. Of course, the Brooklyn's Museum are here. I've got my eye on an E-Type Jag. The wife's not here. I've got the credit card. I might go after that one. They've got the London Bus Museum. And if you look around, we're literally the control tent, actually. We're acting as a control tent by the fairground today. But I can see a Rodeo Bull display. They've got a big bouncy castle and a bungee runner.
I'm with the Mayor of Elmbridge, Councillor Tanya Shipley.
Good morning, everybody.
This is your first trip to this family.
It is. I haven't been here before. I've been to lots of similar events, and this obviously is going to be a super event. There's lots of very active, a lot of activity going on at the moment because they've been setting up stalls all over the place, and it looks as if it's going to be a really good, fun day.
It is, and at least we have a bit of sunshine, though it's getting a bit windy at the moment. And you're shortly going to be opening this event, and we have the stages all set up, and the band is ready to play. They all look like cowboys, actually. I don't know quite why, but...
No, it looks as if it's going to be a super event. I'm really looking forward to it, because, of course, it's events like this that bring community and businesses together. And it's a huge event. I mean, it's a huge organisation. It takes a lot of hard work, and I know that the committee have been working on this for a whole year, because of course they did one last year, and of course they start planning for the next year the minute they've done the event.
Yep, now that sound we can hear in the background there, that is actually a police stand, and they're just trying to wake everyone up a little bit, I think, by testing out their sirens. Now, I believe there was 10,000 people came here last year, so it's going to be a big event, and I can see there's lots of food stands, chiropractic, sports therapy, there's some dangerous-looking things that throw kids around in the air, I think, as well as merry-go-rounds and bouncy castles, and there's all sorts getting set up here, and people are starting to come in. A little bit slowly at the moment, but people are starting to come in. Are you here for the entire event?
I unfortunately can't stay for the entire event. I would like to, but my husband is rowing in the Great River Race this morning. In fact, they're just about to leave the Port of London. They come up to Richmond, and there is a challenge. There is the Riparian Challenge Cup that he is rowing in a boat with three others, and they take it in turns to row, which is quite a feat, actually, because one of them has to cox, and you have the person coxing has to then row, and so there's a lot of swapping about of rowers, so it's quite precarious. They've done a lot of practicing, and actually I think Wandsworth won it last year. Elmbridge has won it for the last 10, 11, maybe 12 years, and Wandsworth won it last year, so they're desperate, Elmbridge, to win it back today. So I shall be at the end of the race to congratulate everybody and welcome everybody back to Richmond.
Especially if Elmbridge win.
Oh, and how. I have my fingers and my toes crossed, yes.
Thank you very much, and you need to get ready now for your opening speech. Thank you very much, Councillor.
Thank you, it's been a pleasure.
Before I actually officially open this, I would just like to just say a few words about this event. Events like this don't just happen. And I'd like to thank the committee for all the hard work they've done, and particularly the chairman. You know, every ship has to have somebody at the helm, and the chairman takes the brunt of the work. So Councillor Peter Harmon, who's here today, who I've known for many years, has, I know, been working on this, been bending my ear for the last year, because of course he started to plan this year's event after last year's event. Today is a collaboration of bringing the community together, which is why actually these events are so important, because the communities, families and businesses all get together to work together. So I hope that this is a really successful day. Last year I know there were 10,000 visitors here. We haven't got 10,000 here yet, but the weather's looking pretty good, and I hope that this year tops last year's event. I'm sure it will. There's some fabulous stalls, and I'm sure you'll all have a wonderful time. So thank you to Peter Harmon, to all the committee. I suspect some of the committee are here. I would also like to just tell you about Blesma, who are one of the charities that are being supported today, and the other one is Dream Flight. Really, really good charities. I have to tell you, I haven't heard of either of them, but I did look them up on the website, and they do some really excellent work, and they deserve your support and my support. So I wish you a lot of success today, the charities, and I wish the committee best wishes, and I hope you all have a wonderful time, and I declare this event open.
I'm here with Flight Lieutenant Patrick Smith at the Royal Air Force Air Cadets store. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, what are you guys here for today?
We're here predominantly as a recruitment stand for the Royal Air Force Air Cadets, but also to show the community what we do and also help out if needs be.
Help out?
Well, we always seem to help out the community when we're here, so anything from selling programs through to helping people set up stands, things like that, really. So
great. Now, there's a lot of photos in the background here, some black and white photos. Are these people from the Air Cadet School or what?
Yes, well, this is all our history from 11F Squadron, which we are. We are 11F Squadron Brooklands, which originally was based on the airfield here. We formed in 1938, and it is our one of, if not the eldest, squadron in the Corps. And we've been in Brooklands ever since. We are the remaining unit or organisation from the original airfield left. There's no one else left in Brooklands, which started in the 30s.
Brooklands did begin as an airfield, didn't it? Before it became involved with cars and everything else.
Yes, it did. You can see in the photos here during the World War II, the cadets, they would help the Royal Air Force with the process of pulling moving aircraft, pulling them out of the hangar, filling sandbags, transporting ammunition, all things nowadays which cadets probably wouldn't be able to do to health and safety. But back in the good old days, as they say, that's where they got their training to become young airmen and carry on the great work of the guys before them.
Now, I can also see photos of some more modern aircraft. Are these the training aircraft?
Yes, they are. So you've got the Royal Air Force's preliminary flying training aircraft there, the Grob Tutor. It's the two-seater trainer which both Prince William and Prince Harry would have trained on at RAF Cranwell. We start the cadets off in their flying career in that, just like regular RAF pilots. We also have now gliders as well. We've just had the Vigilant, which was a two-seater motor glider. That's now come out of service, unfortunately. But we are still flying the Viking, which is a two-seater winch launch and aero-tow conventional glider.
Now, how long does this programme start for the cadets? How young are they?
To join, you start in year 8 now, so you'd need to be 12. And once you're in year 8, you can come down to find your nearest squadron. You'll have a meeting with the staff, predominantly the squadron commander, the officer commanding the squadron, and you give the relevant paperwork, fill that in, for insurance details, and then you start and you're away. So, yeah.
So the point of the cadets is that it's the quick way into the RAF?
We're not actually a recruiting tool as such like we used to be. We're more here now to develop youngsters in their leadership, in their social skills, give them a sense of adventure and sense of meaning, really. So, we do have a lot of cadets that go off into the armed forces. Just recently, I've now got ex-cadets flying Merlins in the Navy. Also as a challenger to tank commander in the British Army, and also one of two female pilots now flying the Apache in the British Army.
Oh, flying the Apaches. They look so incredible as aircraft. And, of course, that's Prince Harry's love, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, fantastic aircraft. We're going to try and get her down to give us a quick flight one day. So I don't know if the MOD will agree to it, but, you know, we can only ask. So
you can only try. Where is the nearest squadron now, then?
So we are based at Brooklands College. Like I said, we used to be based on the airfield at Brooklands when it was an airfield. And subsequently, 60, 70 years later now, we are now in Brooklands College, where we've been for the last 30 years. We parade every Monday and Thursday from 7:30 till 9:30. So if anyone fancies coming down, please come and visit us. And that's your nearest one for Weybridge. But there are many squadrons around the county and the country as well. So you can go onto the Air Cadet website and it will give you a squadron finder. Type in your postcode and it will bring up the nearest ones.
Great. Now, you're a flight lieutenant, so when you're not here, what is your proper job?
In the daytime, I'm a general manager for a cosmetics distribution company. And then in the evenings and the weekends, I'm then an officer in the Royal Air Force Volunteer Reserve Training Branch.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. I'm with Lynn, who's a volunteer with the Surrey Police. Hello, Lynn.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Now, what are you guys up to here?
We basically are representing Surrey Police. As I say, we are volunteers, but we attend lots of events all throughout Surrey and neighbouring areas. And we're coming to do some fingerprinting for the kids. And also we hand out a lot of information leaflets, crime prevention leaflets, and neighbourhood watch information. So there's a bit for everybody.
Ah, and you keep playing the very loud siren to wake everyone up.
Yep, that's just to annoy everyone. That's because the children, we've got British Transport Police here who have kindly come along, and they're the noisy ones. So, yes, we've got the sirens and the lights going, so we'll see how many people we can annoy all day.
And you have some things to give away as people come to your stand, don't you?
We have got things to give away. I mean, obviously, we've got a lot of information leaflets about crime prevention, crime production for the adults, information about Immobilise, which is a nationwide scheme to protect your valuables, which is free of charge and very well worth doing. And then for the younger children, we've got dressing up, so they can dress up as police officers and do their fingerprints and sit in the car.
You have them dressing up as police officers? Oh, no, I thought that was illegal to do that.
To be honest, we've got more adults putting on the police dressing up than the children, but no, we make sure we keep an eye on the clothes and take them off them before they leave. So
nothing vanishes. You also have your neighbourhood watch leaflets going here as well.
We do. I mean, one of our volunteers is district coordinator we're based actually a little bit away from here, so we won't have as many people coming, but we do we work very closely with neighbourhood watch and crime prevention, so that is also a very, very important part of what we do.
And the sign here says you can make a bookmark with your own fingerprints.
You can. You can do one if you like as well. Yep, we do fingerprinting. Take your own bookmark home. We don't keep the fingerprints. So they do their bookmarks and then they can take them home and take them into school afterwards.
Great. Thank you very much, Lynn.
Pleasure.
Well, it's getting quite blowy and I'm in a stall here that's got some marvellous looking food and chutneys. It's Venetia is here from Anila's. Hello.
Hello.
And it all looks good. What is it you're actually selling?
We sell curry sauces and chutneys and pickles. They're all vegan, they're gluten-free, dairy-free and sugar-free, so something to suit everyone's tastes.
Is many people coming by to see you today?
Yeah, we've had a fair few new customers. We're a local business, so we do a lot of the local farmers' markets and supply farm shops and delis as well.
And how long has the business been going?
About 23 years.
Wow, that's some going. You must be quite good at it now then.
Yes.
Is it a fairly small business? How many people do you employ?
We have 3 part-time staff, plus my mum and dad, so it's quite a family business. But yeah, we've been going quite a while now, serving the local community.
Well, it's always nice to hear of a local business that has been going for that time. Where exactly are you based?
We are based in Walton-on-Thames, and have been doing lots of sort of local shows, but have do shows across the country as well, and do supply farm shops and delis.
So if anybody wanted to know where they could, how do you get in touch with you to buy it? I'm going to have a taste of something in a minute. How can I get in touch with you?
If you go to www.anilasauces.com, it's got all the details of our stockists, and also the farmers markets and shows that we attend.
Right, do you only have stockists in Surrey, or is it countrywide now?
No, it's countrywide. A lot of the farm shops and delis will be through distributors. So we may have some on our website, the ones that we're aware of, but if you kind of keep your eyes peeled for our products, you can get them there, or you can order online.
Brilliant. Well, I wish you success for the rest of the afternoon. It's getting a bit chilly and cloudy now, so I wish you best for the rest of the hour. Thanks very much for talking to us.
Thank you.
Radio. I'm here with Paul Mayton, chairman of the RNLI for Weybridge
and Byfleet.
Weybridge and Byfleet. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
So we're here at Family Fun Day, and you have your stall about the RNLI. But I guess the first question is, the RNLI this far inland?
Yes, the RNLI does a lot of things other than just save lives at sea, which our brand line tells people. We have 16 flood relief crews, some of whom were active in the Thames Valley in 2013-2014. And we also now have lifeguards on over 200 beaches through the summer holiday season around the UK. These people make 13,000 rescues in a year. And as we go more and more into the era of climate change and long flight travel becomes more difficult, we're going to be back on our beaches, and the value of the RNLI will be even higher than it is today.
13,000 rescues per year, that is an incredible number. And you are totally funded by the public?
We are totally funded by the public. We are sometimes reimbursed for training lifeguards operated by local authorities, but many of the lifeguards around are in fact RNLI personnel hired on for the summer season. In this area in Brooklands, if students at Brooklands College want something to do in their summer vacations, get in touch with us.
RNLI branch is Weybridge and...
In Weybridge, Byfleet and Weybridge, the ladies of Byfleet are very insistent on historical grounds that Byfleet is named before Weybridge in our branch name. But that's not a major consideration, really.
Right. Now, today you have a stand and you have lots of items, things for sale?
Yes, these are the souvenirs items at the RNLI markets, probably most famous for the Christmas cards and calendars and diaries that go around. But we've got lots of toys here that children can enjoy playing with, and from them maybe get some notion of what goes on at sea and the dangers involved.
And everything helps the RNLI.
And the funds from this all go towards operating something like 20 lifeboat rescues a day. There are, on average, there are over 22, something like that, launches of a lifeboat somewhere around the United Kingdom and Ireland every day of the year.
That's an amazing number, and everyone's a volunteer, of course.
Almost everyone. It's every lifeboat station has one, at least one employed, fully employed and salaried person who maintains the equipment, the boats and everything that goes with it. But 90% of the people, the 60,000 people working for the RNLI are volunteers.
I didn't realise it was 60,000. That's amazing. Thank you very much.
Thank you indeed.
Right, I'm here with John Silver from Brooklands Museum, and I have a stand. You're in one of the windy bit of the family fun fair. However, now, standing in front of a beautiful E-Type Jag, do you tell me about this one?
1966 2+2, 4.2-litre engine. Obviously getting on a little bit now, but still will easily do sort of 100 miles an hour plus, if you don't mind risking the stopping power of it, which is not very good, but it's a fine car, and still, as I say, is out regularly most weekends. So, and it's a joy to drive. It's a good old fashioned drive. None of the modern electronics. No airbag. It's got seat belts, but no airbag. No
sat nav.
No, none of that sort of stuff. No.
Who needs it?
Raw driving in that sense.
It's such a beautiful car, though, the E-Type Jag. Never be surpassed.
Enzo Ferrari thought it was the most beautiful car ever made, and they were relatively cheap in their day. The 2+2s are are the probably the cheaper end of the E-Type Jaguar market. If you were in the market for buying one today, and you'd be looking at about £30,000-£35,000 for one of these, but you'd be up in the £100,000 plus if you wanted a soft top.
Wow, so £30,000 for a start, but a proper restored one, though.
Yeah, well, a reasonable one in this sort of condition would probably go for £30,000-£35,000 on a good day, yeah.
And this beautiful car is yours.
It is indeed, yes. Been mine for quite a while now. But and they're not that expensive to maintain either. Mine's maintained over in St John's in Woking by a guy who looks after it, who does modern cars as well, but he also looks after classics. We've had a bit of work done on it over the time, but generally speaking, it's just a good old solid piece of British engineering.
Good stuff. There's also a rather nice old Rolls Royce here. You drove here from the museum today?
It's not a Rolls Royce. It looks like a Rolls Royce because of the symbols on the hubcaps, but actually, in fact, it's a Railton Terraplane. And Railton were built the engine, basically. The bodywork was built by a coach builders, but it was Eric Fernihoe's design of body to build this Terraplane body look. So it has the sweeping mud guards on the front into running boards along the back, again 4 litres, cable brakes, 3-speed gearbox, so an interesting drive all round, but a lovely car, used by Eric to tow his motorcycles. He was a motorcycle record holder and motorcycle champion, and he used this car to tow his motorcycles around on a trailer during the 30s when he was at his height. Sadly killed, I think, in the late 30s at a race in Hungary, I believe. But yeah, the museum has this car and is an absolute gem of a car. Again, push button start like the Jag in many regards. Bit of choke, push button start, and away she goes. And starts first time, lovely drive. Cable brakes can leave you feeling a little bit vulnerable, but it stops just about most occasions.
So cable brakes, sort of, you need to know half an hour in advance when you're going to stop.
Well, you should give yourself a little bit of leeway, but it will stop. It's fine. It's a fine car, and most people think of cable brakes on a bicycle, but they were used on cars and actually should be pretty efficient, really. And this one is. It'll pull up. You wouldn't want to do too many emergency stops in it, and you certainly wouldn't want to drive too close to the car in front. But that also applies to the E-Type. Cost of a new bonnet on the E-Type is quite expensive, so you certainly don't want to be up the back of anybody too close. So.
I bet. Now, this Railton, I can imagine that was pretty fast in its day.
It would have been pretty fast in its day. If you look at it, it was a sort of... it was clocking up some reasonable speeds. Obviously, the Jaguar was intended to do 150 miles an hour. They were pushing it to some extent, hence the lift from 3.8 to 4.2 litre. But this 4 litre would have... it's got a fairly weighty old body on it, but it certainly would have cruised along quite comfortably on a modern motorway without showing itself up. No trouble at all.
That's fantastic. Now, here today, you also have some model aircraft and model cars for the kiddies to have a free go in.
Yeah, absolutely. The cars were donated to us. Many of them are from the 50s and 60s and were the original sort of Triang type metal cars. So they are classics in their own right. The pedal aeroplanes were all built by volunteers at the museum. And we have two Hurricanes here and one Tiger Moth for the children to pedal around on. And they're immensely popular. I don't think they were ever meant for this kind of usage. They get more than their fair share. But they are incredibly popular, as you can see. And a lot of the children can manage to sort of pedal them away quite nicely. Stick inside left and right to steer with a tail wheel. Takes a bit of getting used to, as you can see. And we do provide a sort of a dolly arrangement with a long shaft to enable parents to push and steer for the very small ones. But yeah, immensely popular with them. And as I say, a tribute to the volunteers who not only built them originally, but also maintain them. They do take some knocks, I can assure you. Propeller blades being the most obvious things that go.
I bet. Are you a volunteer at Brooklands Museum yourself?
No, I'm a staff member. member. I run the volunteers in the sense that I normally organise the stewards that are volunteers, but I do go in on some Saturdays to work on an old aeroplane. So like old cars and old aeroplanes, once they get under your nails and in your blood, you really can't let go. So like a lot of us here, like John with the Yellow Peril, the wonderful Lotus Elan, which is behind us here, and Alan, who's another volunteer. These are the people that are the mainstay of the museum, and without them, there's just no point in opening. They really do make it. And there's 750 plus of them doing everything from gardening to stewarding to restoring aeroplanes and keeping these old cars going as well. So the lads had the Terraplane out on Thursday just to make sure that I was perfectly safe when I drove it down here, or they were just checking that I wasn't going to ruin it for them. But they're the absolute mainstay of the place, and it's an absolute privilege and an honour to meet with them every day. So it's fantastic. It's always good fun. My wife would like to see me occasionally, and that's all.
But only occasionally.
Only occasionally, yeah.
Thank you very much. That's fantastic.
You're very welcome.
Well, now with Peter Harmon, who's the organiser. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
A fairly windy, blustery day today. You're just telling me a story about a slight mishap that we've had here this afternoon.
Well, fortunately, it was before the event opened, so we did have a marquee that disappeared across the grass, but we've managed to recapture it and put it back together, but we decided it was too windy to put it back up. But it's one of those things, and there was nobody around, so it was no harm done.
Well, in the end, then. You pleased with today?
Oh, I am. I mean, you could have had a much better turnout, but that's probably publicity. We need more publicity for the event. We will put it on again next year, on 2nd of September, I think it is. But, yeah, people generally enjoyed it. It stayed dry, which is not what we were expecting, but it is very windy.
Yeah, I must admit, when I got up this morning and looked at the weather forecast, I thought... And I thought, wow, it could be a bit nasty this afternoon. But you've got a good variety of stallholders turned up here. I've been watching some horrible little dragon thing crawling around behind me here.
I think the advantage that we've got this year is that we've got some smaller kiddies fairground rides, which we've had to charge for in the past. Everything has been free. But unfortunately, unless businesses engage themselves with the community, which they tend not to, we've had to charge for some of the events today, which is sad, but there you go, the kids are enjoying it, and that's what it's all about.
It is sad, but it's somehow inevitable, isn't it, nowadays?
It is, I'll put a call out there for businesses. It's good sponsorship for you, it's good publicity for you, and it engages the community with the business in, not just Brooklands, but Weybridge in general.
Yeah, I must admit, I've been wandering around having a chat with some of the stallholders out there. They're quite happy with what's gone on today. I think there could perhaps have been a few more people here, but as you say, perhaps they didn't, not enough publicity this year. We've certainly been publicising it for a while now, and we will continue to do so, and doing so next year again. If you were to think, how could you improve it, how would you have done that this year?
If we could improve it, some of the market stalls, we could possibly reposition them, because they are a bit out of the way, but we weren't sure how that was going to be received, because we've not done that many market stalls before. But we could close it in a bit, but it's pretty difficult to try and keep people together, because it's an open site, 80 acres of wide open space where people can wander in and out as they feel fit. So we couldn't charge for the event, even if we wanted to.
No, and I suppose... if you had a large number of people, you couldn't have it too compact, or it'd be overcrowded, and you'd have the attendant dangers of that as well.
Well, we did have an awful lot of people last year. It is a big park, so there is plenty of room. It's down to publicity. We didn't have a publicity this year that we've had in the past, and I'm not very good on social media, so I'm fortunately getting a bit too old for that. So we need some youngsters in who are great on social media.
Right, well... we'll put this out, maybe make an appeal for people with social media skills. Well done for the organisation this year, and look forward to coming along next year.
Well, I'd just like to thank the committee members who have given up a year of their time, and it's a tremendous amount of work to put on something like this, and it's thanks to them that it's all gone ahead, and of course to our sponsors, who are various, and they're all around the site, and it's thanks to them as well. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Nice to talk to you.
I'm with Mike Hollis of BLESMA, the Limbless Veterans Charity. Do tell me about the charity, please.
Hello there. How are you? All right. Well, BLESMA was set up in the 30s to help veterans that hadn't been looked after when they came back from the First World War. As you can imagine, there was a lot of limbless veterans coming back from that conflict. And of course they've helped people and the Second World War, and now helping all the youngsters that are coming back from the likes of Afghanistan, helping them, support them with getting prosthetics and in their life in general, really.
I guess there's a huge amount more can be done now with the advances in prosthetics. It's remarkable, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. I've actually just been talking to Zanika from Blesma about how they actually put a pin into the bone now so they can actually screw the prosthetics on, because a lot of veterans struggle, especially if they've got, you know, you can imagine when they've had their leg removed that it's going to be quite painful for them. So a lot of them find it difficult to actually use the prosthetic and end up in wheelchairs, mainly. So now they're devising a new way of actually screwing a pin into the bone so they can actually then screw the prosthetic on. It's quite an amazing thing, really.
Now, does Blesma purely raise money, or are you more involved with the hospitals and the treatment and so on directly?
Well, yeah, they help with the mainly with the prosthetics, but they have got a home in Blackpool, because they're, believe it or not, they're still looking after around 400 from the Second World War and their dependents.
I wouldn't have guessed there's so many people still from the Second World War. And this is purely about limbless veterans, this charity.
Limbless and blind. And blind, yeah.
Limbless and blind, right. And you're here today to raise money, and part of the proceeds from this Family Fun Day will be going to Blesma, I believe.
Yes, I believe it is, yeah, yeah.
Great. Now, you also have a beautiful, beautiful motorbike here. Do tell me about this.
Oh, this is a Harley-Davidson Street Glide, which I got 4.5 years ago now. Believe it or not, it's polished to within an inch of its life. Having said that, I do ride it. I've taken it to Normandy. I took it to Normandy for the 70th anniversary of D-Day and rode it because it's got a CD player on it. I rode it across Pegasus Bridge with the bagpipes playing on it. It's all been airbrushed by a young lad called Tom Fuller. So they're all individual artworks to depict today's army. And it's got helicopters and soldiers and guns and poppies, because I do help the poppy appeal occasionally as well. It attracts a lot of attention. It's very loud when I want it to be, but as I say, I look at the clouds and I think I don't want it to rain, because I'm going to have to polish it again. And I don't think it wants me to polish it anymore.
I can see there's a lot of hours in polishing that chrome. It is absolutely beautiful. And the airbrush pictures are just amazing, as you said, helicopters and looks like GIs with machine guns and so on. Beautiful bike, beautiful bike. Also, you had the Lady Mayor posing on that earlier on, didn't you?
I did, yeah. She wanted to actually go for a ride, but she didn't have the dress. She wasn't actually dressed for it. So, she's a nice lady. Tanya, I believe.
Next time.
Yeah, Tanya.
Tanya Philpotts, Councillor Tanya Philpotts. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'm here at Darwin's Kingdom, Animal Education and Experiences, and we're just looking at... what kind of snake is this?
We don't know.
He's a carpet python, a jungle carpet python from Australia.
A jungle carpet python. He's obviously rather tame, as these ladies and... what's my little friend's name here?
Hugo.
Hello, Hugo. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's been stroking the snake, and he's not frightened at all, are you? Not frightened of anything.
Mr. Strong impression.
Very good. Didn't frighten the snake, though. He's a lovely tame snake here. He is totally safe, I'm sure.
He is completely safe, I can assure you. He's absolutely lovely. He's one of the friendliest snakes you'll ever meet.
Lovely. Oh, that's nice. And why are you guys here today, Darwin's Kingdom?
We're here to introduce the public to a lot of our animals and teach a lot of people that are scared that actually there's nothing to be scared of, and just show people that reptiles are absolutely amazing, because I certainly think so.
And what other animals do you have here today?
We have Ringo, who's a black and white tegu, which is a large monitor lizard from South America. We have some Australian tree frogs. We also have a tenrec, which is a cute little hedgehog-like animal. So we've got a little bit of everything, something for everyone. Got very gross cockroaches as well, which no one is keen on yet, but I think I can convince a few people to think otherwise.
Oh no, cockroaches, seriously?
Yes, I'm known as the crazy bug lady, so it's no surprise that I love cockroaches.
Well, good for you. Someone has to. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much.
I'm here with Jamie on the Dogs Trust stand. Tell me, what are you up to today, guys?
Trying to raise awareness and funds for Dogs Trust, the largest dog welfare charity in the UK.
And your signs say, will you be my friend? So you have dogs that need rehomed?
We do. We have a lot of dogs that need rehoming, but today we're here for the dogs we can't rehome.
How do you mean?
Some have behavioural problems, medical problems, some are getting on a bit, or some have been so badly treated. So we're trying to raise awareness for these dogs. We never destroy a dog at Dogs Trust, so we stick with these dogs for the rest of their lives.
So you must have a lot of dogs that you keep looking after then for the rest of their lives?
Last year we took in 16,000, stray, abandoned or unwanted.
That's terrible, isn't it? And we're supposedly a nation of dog lovers as well.
Exactly.
You also have a sign saying a dog is for life, not just for Christmas. So that message still needs to be rammed home to people?
Definitely. It's our busiest time of the year, from January through to March. Get a silly amount of dogs coming through our doors.
Is that because of Christmas presents that don't work out, or what?
A bundle of fluff soon turns into a dog that may start eating the carpets or messing places. People need educating, and we have started educating, going around schools, trying to bring up children to respect their dogs.
Right. And today you're here predominantly to raise awareness and raise money, you said?
Sponsor a dog campaign, yeah.
So this is sponsor a dog that has problems?
This is one of the dogs we can't rehome, yeah. We ask people to pick a dog today, sponsor him or her, for as long as they can.
And what sort of money is involved in this?
Just £2 a week.
So it's really cheap?
Well, it's affordable. We like to keep it affordable so people can feel they can help us without getting themselves into any financial difficulty.
And you have a lot of dogs that you're looking after, and they do need this kind of sponsorship?
Yes.
Great. Thank you very much, Jamie.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Well, we're still here. Just about the end of the day now at the Brooklands Fun Day. Been a good day for most people. Apparently had a nice chat with the chairman a few moments ago, and he said everybody is well happy today. So congratulations to them. Well done to the committee and, of course, to everybody involved in organising it. We got to just probably just hear it in the background. The band's still playing away in the background. They're all right. They're in the dry. I'm standing out here in the wet without a coat because it just started raining again. And that's the only problem we've had today. It's been a bit windy and it's been a little bit wet, but you get around there. All around me, I can look around. There's still kids on the trampolines and in the ball pits and climbing all over the place. The teacup ride is still going and the bungee jump is going particularly well. And something looks like some, I don't know, it's called a small, small world, I suppose. That's something like the one in Disney with the little kids in teacups going round and round and round. And there's all sorts of bits still going on, but it's gradually fading now. And people, as you'd say, upping sticks now and getting ready to go because the rain is getting progressively heavier. So I'm going to start heading back to our OB caravan to get dried off, and then I'm going to go home and have some dinner as well. So once again, it's been a good day, well worth coming down to. Met and talked with lots and lots of really nice people today and seen just how vibrant this place is. I mean, it's a huge, it's 80 acres of the site here. It's a hugely good resource for the Weybridge and the whole of the area. So if you haven't come down here, just come down, have a run around with your dog, have a play. There's a skate park and everything else down there you could possibly need. There's basketball hoops, the lot. Just use the thing. More and more sites going now, climbing walls beginning to come down. The girls with the hula hoops are still going mad in the distance. But as far as the actual day goes, from us at Brooklands Radio representing it down here at I'm going back, it's getting incredibly wet now. We've had a great day, so thank you very much to everybody for allowing us to come down here today, and we will see you again next year.
Brooklands Radio. Loving events in Surrey.